Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate that you listen to the podcast. Make sure you subscribe and also leave us some feedback. Rate us. Give us a review. Thanks for listening. Hope you enjoy.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to The Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
This is going to be an action-packed final 40 minutes of the show. I am predicting in the final 40 minutes of the show that we are going to talk to three different guests. I don't usually do that. I don't do it that fast. And we're going to go to Texas, where Matt Prehm of 24/7 Sports is waiting for the Oregon-Auburn game. We're going to talk to Sports Illustrated's Greg Bishop. But right now, I want you guys to have an opportunity to help the University of Portland men's soccer team break a record. What record is that? I'm bringing on their coach. Nick Carlin-Voigt is joining us from the practice field right now. What's the scene out there, Nick?
Oh, it's great. A little bit of heat here in Portland, but we're really excited to kick off our season this Friday. We host Colgate, who's been their conference champion the last 3 years in a row, and we're trying to break the student record and attendance record for opening day, so we can get 2,500 or more students at a small Catholic school, 4,000 students. We can break the record, and we're really excited to get the community out. So please come and watch us tomorrow at 7 o'clock at Merlo Field. It'll be a great display of two NCAA tournament teams from last year going head to head in the season opening game.
I love that because people can see high quality soccer at a great venue. You got a fantastic venue out there. And who do you have coming back? Like, when you look back, because last year everybody was like, man, everybody started talking about you guys about mid-season and then said, what a great year. But now people, I think, have a chance to be early adopters.
Right. Yeah. No, last year we were one of two teams in the country to defeated in the non-conference part. We started the season at home. So we definitely have a target on our back and got the highest this in the country. And for the first time in a long time, we start the season top 20 in the country, which I tell the guys, that doesn't mean too much on the inside of the locker room. It just means that we had a good year last year, and now we have some more expectations. So we saw the saying in our program that pressure is for the privilege. And so it's great that we are having expectations here, and that's something that we want every year. We want people to think that the University of Portland men's soccer team can be a contender for championships. And so we're very process-driven, and the guys have been working really hard. And we have six starters coming back from last year, led by some seniors, and Ray Ortiz, who's on the Herman Mack watch list for the second year in a row. Gio Magana, a senior from Hood River, who was first-team All-League. Our captain, Esteban Calvo, who's done a fantastic job. And then one of our center backs, Francesco Tioso, who is really our leader in the back. And so we feel like we have a good core of guys coming back. Benjamin Michelle would have been in that senior class as well, but he's now departed from the MLS and is doing really well with Orlando City. And so we're really proud of him as well.
We're talking to University of Portland men's soccer coach Nick Carlin-Voigt. Again, he's telling you on Friday night you can come out and be part of making some history, breaking an attendance record. Season opener is Friday. They're trying to break the record for that. I think it's important for people to get on board early, but I want to go way back. Like, the history of University of Portland in soccer has just been outstanding. Is it Clive Charles? Is it something else? What do you say? Where was it born?
Well, there's a lot of people who have come before us who have put their foot stamps all over the program. Obviously, you have to talk about Merlo for building the field, the former Timbers owner. But Clive came in at a time after Dennis O'Meara and just did a great job of running both programs and was a larger-than-life character and just, in the community is really responsible for getting the University of Portland on the national map. And that, on the men's side, that 1988 team with Casey Keller in goal, getting to the program's first Final Four, I think showed that you can do big things here. But then all of the players on both the men's and women's side who come after have just continued the legacy of the program, and that's really our job with the current team is to keep building on that legacy. And Understanding the past, respecting the past, honoring the past, but then our message to our current guys is, how can you do something in the present so that you one day people are talking about your group. So we're very behavioral driven. It's not what we can do, it's what we do, and the behavior dictates that. And so our guys are really focused on being locked into what's needed today and finding ways to become the best team that we can be and evolving the program to the next step. And I think in the short period of 4 years, we've been able to get back to that standard of beating top schools. You know, we had a good preseason where we beat Utah Valley, who was a really strong team, and then beat Oregon State. And coming off, you know, some years where we beat UCLA and Washington and Oregon State, and that's all done. That's all part of the past. And now we got to kick on and, you know, find our own identity and our own stamp on this team. And we're really excited to kick that campaign off tomorrow night here at Merlot at 7 p.m.
Let me ask you a question. I asked both college football coaches I had on this week. How do you sleep on the night before a game? Like, will you get a great night of sleep tonight because, hey, all the work's done. All the work's done. It's in the hands of my guys. Or do you sit there and have a difficult time getting to sleep?
Well, in the season, I don't know if you're sleeping a lot because there's so many things on your mind, but you definitely have to take care of yourself, and we can just focus on us and be prepared. We know we're very much a work in progress, and we don't have a lot of information on our opponents early in the season, and there's always some early season, you know, wrinkles that you got to work out, and so I'll sleep well, but it's like a little kid the first day before school. You're just so excited. This is one of the best times of the year on a college campus. There's a real sense of optimism. There's a new sense of hope. Around campus, everyone believes that anything is possible. And so we're tapping into that community, getting people excited. We're going to be rocking and rolling here, not just tomorrow, but all season. And at the end of the day, you're really excited for the guys who, you know, it's about their experience and they've worked so hard. And there'll be a huge crowd here tomorrow night, getting us off and starting this campaign on the right foot.
All right. So if people want to show up and support students, civilians, kids, do they need to buy tickets ahead of time? Do they just show up to the stadium? How does that work?
Yeah, you know, we always like to have people buy tickets ahead of time, especially if you're bringing a group. We do have group discounts, but you can walk up to 512 Press Box and buy tickets. So I don't think we'll be sold out tomorrow. Our capacity is 5,000, but definitely get there early, support the Pilots, and you know, we have an exciting group of young guys. Our recruiting class is just ranked 8th in the country, and we have some young guys that aren't household names yet, but I really think it's going to be exciting to watch. Our freshmen coming in this year have done a great job, and our U17, U20 national team pool player, Jacobo Reyes from Monterrey, already has a goal and assist, and he's a guy who, you know, we think can play at the next level if he keeps developing. And he's, again, going to be a treat to watch here on the Bluff. And then Kevin Ogedugo is a really fast, attacking, dynamic Norwegian, Nigerian, you don't say that combination too often, player who's just come in. And he's very pacey, and he'll be able to stretch the game out. And we have a big field at Merlot. And so we try to play fast. We try to play exciting. We believe we're in the entertainment business. And so we've scored 6 goals in the preseason. And, you know, we're going to continue to go forward and take risks and try to put a product on the field that the community can get behind and really try to have an identity that's a real team, that's a committed team, that's a team that's driven with purpose and unity and fights hard for the fans. And so, we just can't be thankful enough for all the fans who do come out to support us. If you haven't been to a college game and you're waiting to go to Timbers on Saturday, do come out and support us on Friday. I think you'll be entertained.
Nick Carlin-Voigt, University of Portland men's soccer. Hey, I really value the airtime of this show, and I'm bringing you on because, you know, you've earned it, and you have built a program there that I think more people need to know about. I think it's one of the great hidden little secrets. I hope it's not a secret by the end of this season.
Thanks so much. No, we have to earn the right to have fans, and I think our guys have done that, and ultimately, you know, we're going to play the game the right way. We're going to be exciting to watch. And, you know, I can't thank you enough for the support that you've given our program. So thanks so much.
All right. Thanks, Nick. Good luck to you on Friday night, tomorrow night. There's Nick Carlin-Voigt. If you're a soccer fan, go see UP. Men's soccer program. Really exciting last year. NCAA tournament. Good team. All right. Matt Prehm is on the ground in Texas. He is going to be next talking about Oregon and Auburn. Leave it here. We'll be right back. 24/7 Sports tweeted this morning that he was getting on an airplane in Portland, Oregon. Let's check in and find out where he is now. Matt Prehm, where are you, man?
I am laying on my bed in Dallas, Texas, trying to get away from the heat. It is god-awful hot here.
Thank goodness you said you're laying on your bed in Dallas, Texas. I thought it was going somewhere else. How hot is it? Like, let's set the scene for us.
I walked out of the airport, and it felt like I had just landed in the Phoenix airport in the summertime. Just like real, just air dry whoosh of heat right into your face. It's pretty hot. It's close to triple digits, if not hotter.
I was surprised because you tweeted out there were a bunch of Duck fans on your plane. People are getting out of town right now. They're going to make it a 4 or 5 day trip out of it.
Yeah, my parents are ticket holders, and my parents they've landed now in Dallas as well. On my flight, there was 55 adults that were on my flight from Portland to L.A. that were Duck fans going to Dallas because our flight, we didn't have to deboard when we landed in L.A. So there was 55 of us on the plane, 54 plus me. Going on the plane to Dallas. There's a lot. And there were, when I was in the Portland airport, there was a Delta flight going to LA as well that morning. And there was a bunch of people waiting in Duck tickets, in Duck clothes as well to get on that flight.
Biggest factor in this game is going to be what? Oregon Auburn Saturday.
I think it's going to be Oregon's receivers. I mean, I've said this a couple times. I think it's kind of the obvious one, but sometimes the obvious thing is what you have to pick. And I think if Oregon can generate just some kind of a passing game, it doesn't even have to be over the top, 40-yard bombs and whatnot, just a consistent passing attack where you can get 8, 9, 10, 11 yards and have that be something that Auburn has to worry about, that makes Oregon's offense entirely different.
Justin Herbert, we watched him last year, and a lot of us were frustrated with play calling, or maybe it was he didn't have receivers to throw the ball to. What's going to be different this year, given that we also have concerns about play calling, and does he have receivers to throw the ball to?
I think he trusted his arm a little too much. If you're probably going to nitpick him, you're probably thinking last year he probably trusted his arm a little too much. I can throw this guy open. I can go for the deep ball instead of maybe taking the simple check down. I think that's where his growth will come from year three to year four. And then obviously he's had more command, even more command of the offense, going into his second year of crystal ball's offense, third year working with Marcus Arroyo. They've talked a lot about this fall camp, how he's now got total freedom to audible, and that's really kind of opened things up even more for the offense. And he knows now when to audible and when it's a good time not to audible.
Matt Prehm, 24/7 Sports, is with us. Kayvon Thibodeau, are we going to see big things from him? Will he be a guy that we notice once in a while? What do you expect?
I don't think he starts. I think that's going to go with the senior Bryson Young. I mean, all of fall camp, every player raved about him on the defensive side. I asked Javon Holland who I should talk to during fall camp. This was about three quarters of the way through it. Of like when you're looking for stories, like who should I talk to? And he said Bryson Young, who I should say his actual name on the team is Blackhawk. And he just said that's a guy that's just totally changed his game. He's going to make an impact this season. Going to be a starter was what Holland said, but for Thibodeau, I think you'll see him. He will make plays. I'm not expecting him day one to show up and be a top 10 player on Oregon's roster, and that's probably a good thing because of the depth that would mean that Oregon's developed.
We're talking to Matt Prehm, 24/7 Sports. Auburn's going to start a true freshman at quarterback in Bo Nix. Is this going to be a factor? What can Oregon do to make his inexperience a factor? When you heard that, what did you think?
I think so. I mean, I think that's a factor because Auburn's front seven is absolutely tenacious. Oregon's offensive line is maybe the best in the country. I think those are going to wash each other out. And when you're in a neutral site setting like this is going to be, what's the next factor? Probably quarterbacks. And Oregon's got a guy that's going into his fourth year as a starter, a guy that's going to be a top 10 pick in the draft. And Auburn's rolling out a true freshman. He was a five-star, but he's making his first career start against a really good opponent. And he might be good. We just don't know. I think, go back to Herbert's freshman year, and he was really good. But he also made, a lot of mistakes. And there's going to be times, very rarely does a freshman show up and just instantly, calm as a cucumber, doesn't make any mistakes, knows everything by the back of his hand. And if that's the case with Bo Nix, Oregon just tips your hat and, hey, you're really good. You're a once-in-a-generation type player. We'll see you down the road. Odds are in your favor that's not going to be the case.
Matt, I look at this game, and from an SEC standpoint, it is physicality. And from Oregon's standpoint, yep, there's the word that comes to mind is validation. What would it mean for Oregon to go 1-0 versus 0-1 in this game as a program? Recruiting-wise, does that have implications, all of that?
Oh, it'd be huge. And, Oregon's coaches, Mario, Cristobal talked about how they're not playing for the conference, or, they're just focused on themselves. And he understands the pressures that come with this game and the ramifications it could have for the league, but they're just worried about themselves. But even
we interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald Face.
Sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Face Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Face Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.